Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. It's Austin here with you. It is currently 11 o'clock at night on a Tuesday night. This is how God works, y'all. Worked all day. Morning started about 5 this morning. Got back to the house about a little after 7:30, almost 8 o'clock. Took a shower, ate some dinner, lay down in bed, and I thought I'm going to bed. I had texted a friend of mine who was had called me there, and I said, "Listen, buddy, I said I'm going to the bed. I'm wore out. I'm tired." Slept about an hour, and I got woke up kind of by a dream. With this dream, and I don't know where this is going to go because I just decided I was going to put my thoughts and explain where I was at on a few things. I'm not even going to worry about doing the housekeeping and stuff. I'm just going to deep dive right into to the thought process that I had. And part of that thought process this evening is stemming from a situation that I had kind of dealt with recently, but it also kind of the ideal of being able to come to terms with the situation that I was, or not really a situation, but taking what somebody else had said. And I won't go too elaborate on the pre-story here or the story before the story. Long story short, was at work a couple weeks ago, and this is kind of what brought all this on. Well, before I go into that, recently had a situation where I had someone tell me that my decision to not, I'm trying to think of a way to say this so that it can't be said I was talking about somebody. And I know that sounds bad, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I've had to live with this for a couple weeks now. Long story short, I had someone that told me that I was being a not good Christian. I'm going to put it as that and leave it at that. Because I was not, I was not doing, in their eyes, what I was being directed to do. Now, I'm gonna leave it at that because I don't wanna offend or say I was talking about somebody. But excuse me. Today, while at work, was doing a little bit of cleaning and just some shuffling around, getting some stuff done around the office. And one of the things that I kind of was sitting there thinking about while we were cleaning was when you clean something, we have white, what we call cleaning rags, and they're white rags and they got a big green strip through them. And that's what we use to clean with, whether we're, wiping down walls, whether we're drying a vehicle, whether we're cleaning tires or wiping down doorknobs or even just simply wiping off the counter. My mama always called them cleaning rags. You had certain rags that you used to clean with. You did not use her good rags, her wash rags that you'd take a bath with. But you use these particular rags, and these rags, y'all, are torn and tattered. They're filthy, but I know that they're clean because they come out of my washer. And I come home this evening, and like I said, I didn't do much. I didn't do any study, and I didn't do any any reading or anything like that. But I fell asleep, and the Lord gave me this vision or this dream I'll start off with the scripture aspect, and the scripture was Isaiah 64:6. But we are all unclean things, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags, and we all do fade as leaves, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And God woke me up from that with that scripture on my mind, and I got up and I prayed about it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to use what you give me here, and I'm going to try to put this into a show, or put this in. I don't want to call it a show, y'all, because that is how in depth this went. But it made me start to think about how the rags that I was cleaning with today, they were soiled and they were filthy and they looked awful, but yet I knew they had been soaked in bleach and they were clean. But when you put all this together and you begin to think about this, you know, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And the Bible, I believe the Bible is speaking on this in the aspect of it being metaphorical. I think it's metaphorically saying that it's something that is kind of extremely unclean. But I want to lean more towards the human efforts of being righteous. And you can sit here and you can sit here. Okay, I'm just going to flat out say it. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. You can sit here and speak in tongues on a Sunday morning. You can get up and sing the songs and you can do all this other stuff and you can play the part, but your rags are still filthy. You can get up here and you can do all this other stuff. You can tithe and your church attendance and all the ritualistic things. But without genuine faith and your reliance and your faith in God, you're nothing more than a filthy, nasty rag. That is all that we are. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we try to get out of the things that we're doing, we are still, at the end, still filthy rag. We can have all the fleshly righteousness that we want. We can be the pastor's child. We can be the song leader. We can be the devotion leader, a Sunday school teacher. Dare I say, we can even be preachers. But yet still, at the end of the day, we are our righteousness that we make up and the things that we say to others and the things that we do and everything else, still at the end of the day, is nothing more than self-righteousness that is condemned through the Bible. We are commanded, 100% commanded to do good works. Paul explained that we cannot do anything to save ourselves, but that our salvation comes as a result of God's grace. I believe that's in Ephesians chapter number 2, I think. But it plainly states that we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's Ephesians 2 and 10, if you want to look it up. Our salvation is not the result. We are not saved because we get up on Sunday morning and we go to church. We are not saved because we amen the preacher or because we have a membership. I am not saved because I have a paper that is hanging on my wall that I'm looking at right now that says I'm a member of the church. Excuse me, I got a little choked up there. We are not saved because we've been baptized or because we attend dinner with the preacher or because we go and pray over somebody or we go and do this or we go and do that. We are not saved because of any of the results of any of our efforts, abilities, how smart you are, how good choices you make, your characteristics. We are not saved because of any acts of service we perform or anything. We are saved, however, as believers because we are created in Christ's good works to serve others. That's another thing I'll dive into. If we're not able to serve others and put ourselves aside for the acts of Christ, then what good are we? If we cannot step forth and be the hands and feet of God, then that puts us just as bad as filthy rags are. I'm trying to think. I remember seeing it, but I don't remember where I seen it at per se. I'm trying to find it here. Sorry, I typed a bunch of stuff in my phone here, and I'm trying to put I'm trying to put a lot of different things together. Anyways, the second part of Isaiah 64 says that we all fade as leaves, and our iniquities like the wind, we have taken us away. What I dare to say, and I honestly believe this, it says that we all do fade as leaves. We all know we're in the middle of winter right now. It's in the middle of December right now as I'm recording this. It is cold. There ain't a leaf on a tree. There ain't a flower blooming or nothing. But our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We can stand in the church house and we can do things and we can do stuff in what we say is in God's will. But just the same as it may not be. We have people today that are standing there saying God told them to do this and God told them to do that. But in all reality, we automatically know that's maybe not the case. We cause ourselves a lot more trouble and stress than what it's really worth because we take the flesh of our emotions and we start putting all this stuff together. Trying to see where it's at. I think it's Matthew number 7. I was going to read it there if I can find it here. Hold on, y'all. We're getting there right there. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raven wool. Ye shall know them by the fruits by their fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle?" The Bible plainly says right there that there can be those that are among us right now that seem to wear the title of holier than thou, but yet in all reality, they are nothing more than wolves in sheep's clothing. We have people that cross us daily where we can clearly see that, as the Bible says, that they are unclean things and all of their righteousness are filthy rags. They could be putting on the face of righteousness, but they're not actually righteous individuals. I know that it sounds crazy to say, and you can make up whatever outcome of that you really want to. But like I said, we sit here and all of us have become this unclean by our righteous acts. But we're all just shriveled up little leaves, like the Bible says. If this is often used as like, I guess, evidence or proof to condemn our acts of goodness as nothing more than filthy rags in God's eyes, because it's referring specifically, hold on, I'm looking for where I seen this, that I copy and pasted this because it explained it. Right here it is. The context of this passage is referring specifically to the Israelites in Isaiah's time who had strayed from God. Isaiah was writing concerning his nation and their hypocrisy. Yet he included himself in the description saying, "We and are." Isaiah was redeemed and set apart as a prophet of God, yet he saw himself as a part of a group that was utterly sinful. The doctrine of total depravity is taught clearly elsewhere in Scripture over in Ephesians. And let's see what else it says. And the illustration of Isaiah 64 and 6 could rightly be applied to the whole world, especially given Isaiah's inclusion of himself in the description. Now, y'all, that right there, that little paragraph that I just read is coming from context out of the Bible. I have a big study Bible and, you know, the small print down at the bottom. And that's kind of where that's explaining from. But if you think about it, if you look at somebody and you say, "My car is dirty. Well, I mean, your car can be dirty. But if you say, "My car is filthy," dirty just means everyday drive. Filthy, in my mind, there's a separation here. When you sit back and you think about dirty would be me driving my car up and down the road on a nice 90 degree day. And just dirt, kind of little dust and stuff on it. But filthy is the way it looks Sunday after I went to church. all the snow and the ice and all this stuff on the road. My car's silver, but you couldn't tell it. It looked like a dirty, looked like a, like almost like a cream white color. Filthy is such a pungent word. And honestly, it's just quite strong. So breaking down for a little bit of terminology, so filthy in Hebrew means Ida, I-D-D-A-H, which literally means the worst of fluid or dirt or specimen. Specimen meaning bodily fluid. And the word rag translates, the word rag is a translation of beg, B-E-G-G-E-D, meaning a rag or garment. Therefore, these righteous acts are considered by God to be as pungent and nasty and soiled as a bloody rag. I'm just going to put it, I'm going to call it what it is. I mean, and like I said, I'm reading this out of, I've got Bible and I've got study guide and I've got all these different things here that I'm trying to put all this together. As you can see, I wasn't scripted on this. That's kind of our name, the Unscripted Pulpit. But the ideal of this, one of the things that, that you have to consider and think about here is that everything that God has, Satan has had years and years and years to create a counterfeit of it. So God has worship. What's it to say Satan can't step into that worship? Everything that God has, Satan has had thousands of years to create a fake one of. And if you cannot sit here and tell me that Satan himself is not in our churches, there are people in our churches today that are holier than thou in the eyes of the flesh, but in all reality, their fruit is rotting. Matthew number 7, chapter number 7 goes in, and we've covered the fruits on here and how the Bible says you'll be known by your fruits and different stuff like that. But you know, in all reality, you cannot tell me that there are not situations where Satan himself has involved himself into our current state of worship and does not sit right in the pews with you know, something else that, that you have to consider is a lot of times, and I'm not, like I said, I don't want anybody to think I'm bashing anybody, but this is just something I want to bring to light. And that is simply put that a lot of times we go to these people in our lives who are anointed, meaning that we feel or they claim to have a spirit about them, you know, that person that we can confide in, but we have reached a point where we may confide in people who have this anointing, we've let known our flaws. We go to these people who have this anointing that, and we let them know what's going on in our life. And then they turn around and they use that against us. One of my biggest fears, and I'm going to be flat out honest with you, one of my biggest fears still to this day, as I sit here and I record this, I cannot bring myself to go to the altar in a church, whether it be my own church, whether it be a church I'm a guest at. The spirit could be thick as molasses, and I cannot bring myself to go to an altar. Why, you might ask? Because there are people that I feel know too much about me, and then they're automatically going to say stuff. I'm working on that. I'm praying about it. God has not brought me out of that valley. Or has not brought me out of that you know, that situation that I'm walking in and why I feel that way, but I just can't do it. And simply because I confided in people who had a flesh-made righteousness, and that flesh-made righteousness has made them know too much about me because I thought I could confide in them. When the spirit of discernment has set in and said, no, you cannot confide in that person because of this, this, that, or this. The follow-up to all of this that I've had to say is simply put, if you want to see your kids saved, you want to see your wife saved, you want to see your husband saved, you want to see all this stuff come together, and you want to see all these things that you're praying for. Dare I say you want to see revival come up in your life and in your church? It's not going to happen because you put together a flesh-made righteousness that you think is what's making your walk with Christ, and it's what's making your salvation. But in all reality, it's not going to happen until you fall on your face and you come to a full face-to-face conversation with God, and you find in the true act of repentance. Because until you find that repentance, you are nothing more than filthy rags that God sees no fit for in His kingdom. Part of being a saved Christian is simply because you are covered by the blood. Now, a lot of people may say, how in the world can the Bible, you know, how can the Bible say and songs say that the, you know, blood will make something washed white as snow? We have it. There's an old song that says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, the thing about it is, that's metaphorical in the aspect of it. It doesn't sound right in our fleshly, carnal minds. But at the end of the day, the blood of Jesus is the only thing that's going to wash out that self-righteousness. That self-righteousness that's sowing seeds of destruction and sowing seeds. I have allowed someone to sow a seed in my life that I have wrestled with for far on of 3-4 weeks. But this all coming from somebody that is righteous, that is holy. I know technically holy and righteous may not be the right word or terminology for it, but at the end of it, in all reality, that's the way we see it. We paint this picture of people who's closer to God than maybe we are. And I know that sounds funny, and call it whatever you will, but at the end of the day, that's what we've painted this picture as. But I have caused this person to sow a seed of distraught and disdain in my life because I thought this person was closer to God than I was, and I allowed myself to listen to it. But like I said earlier, our salvation is not a result of us getting up in church and speaking in tongues for an hour. That's not what our salvation is. Our salvation ain't because we tithe or we're real smart. Our salvation, you know, a little bit about myself, you know, our pastor does not have Facebook or any social media, so when he wants something on Facebook, he sends it to me, he shoots me a text message. You see, most of the time I put it on there, you'll see, and if you've listened to this and you go to our church and you are on our Facebook page, then you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, the pastor needs the toilets clean. He calls me. I can do it. He knows he can call me. Or let's say the church needs decorated for an event. He can call me. He knows I got him. Or maybe he just needs the vent. I mean, or whatever the case may be. But just because I sit down on Sunday and have dinner with the pastor don't mean I'm saved. Just because I do all these things and just because I do these things, you know, whatever the case may be, doesn't mean I'm all holy and saved and sanctified and I'm going to heaven. Like I said, I've already said it once, but our righteousness, our righteous acts, that's all they are, is they're acts. They are put together thoughts and schemes that we fuel with emotions and we think they're righteous from God when all they are is their righteous acts. But those righteous acts do not produce salvation. Now, our acts can be evident of our salvation, but there becomes a fine line when we draw between our emotions and our righteous acts that are fueled by emotion. We have to be able to recognize that even our righteous acts come as a result of God within us and not of ourselves. Our own righteous is just self-righteousness. It's vain, it's hypocritical, it's religion. It's not God, and that is nothing more than filthy rag. You know, a lot of times, we get hung up on the religion aspects of it. Well, my religion is we go to church and we do this and we say that and we say this. We know how to sing the songs at the right times. We know what to say at the right time. But that doesn't make it nothing more than just regular religion. I can go to the bar and get up and sing a few songs about God and do a little praying and call it church. But that doesn't mean anything more. But if the Spirit of God is not in it, then it's nothing. I don't know if, I'll be honest with y'all, I don't know if any of this made any sense to you all. My recommendation is, and maybe you don't see it. Let me start there by saying maybe you don't see the condition of your rags. The main point of this is that good deeds are not necessarily bad, but they can't save us. The things that we do and say in church are not necessarily bad, but that doesn't mean that we're saved and that we're filled with spirit. There's a lot of times that people do stuff because they've seen other people do it. There's a lot of times that we see stuff and we do stuff that doesn't really mean anything. There was something else I was going to throw in there. But anyways, consider the fact of this, y'all. I'll close this down here. Consider the fact of this. Your human effort versus your the divine holiness. Question is, do you just have religion? Do you just have the ideal or necessity of the name of the church in your life? Or do you actually have what is needed to change those filthy rags, your self-made righteousness? Do you have that cleaning? If you think about rags, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier when I first started. We have cleaning rags, and these cleaning rags, they oftentimes have to soak in bleach for a couple days. And one of the things that I want to ask you is are you actually, you know, in all reality, once they soak in bleach for so long, they're clean, as in the ideal of they don't have, you know, they may still be stained, but they're clean that you can use them again. My question to you is, are you just soaking your rags in bleach? Meaning, are you just going to church and standing there in the water and taking part and, you know, saying this and singing that because that's what you're supposed to do? Or are you actually cleaning, knocking the cobwebs off, throw it in the washer, take a little shout to it? And when I say that's something else we'll do. That's something else we'll cover. You know, when you got a bad stain, you put a little shout on it. Sometimes, and oftentimes, more times than not, honestly, a lot of times, watched this many times, actually. There's a particular family in a church that I grew up, and when the mother would shout, the daughter would shout. When the father would run, the son would run. What I call coattail worship. Our worship is not based off what someone else tells us to do. Just because 60 people in the church house are shouting and running and walking around the church house, unless God tells you to do that, that's self-made righteousness if you get up and do that and God didn't tell you to do it. That doesn't mean you're any less holier because you sit in your pew or because you continue carrying on. Y'all, I worship in silence. I don't, every now and then I get a little excited. Y'all have seen it here on the podcast. I get a little excited, but in all reality, I worship in silence. If you can get a, if I can get a good cry out, that's my form of worship. But that doesn't mean, and if I was to get up and start walking and running around, that doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. That just means that I have, I've done that because somebody else has done it. What's the point of getting up and running around the church house because Billy Bob over here said, brother, get up, run. If God didn't tell you to run, then you ain't doing nothing but running around in circles. Now, like I said, y'all, you can take this for whatever you want to take it to. As we have said, Brother Jeremiah said it on the very first episode we ever put out. We believe in study and show thyself approved. If you've sat here and you've listened to me carry on for whatever 30, 40 minutes, however long it is, then I am so glad. But I recommend to you that you pray on this. Pray that God foreshows, you know, that he gives you the idea, not necessarily the idea, but that he guides you in the path of to understand, that he would give you the discernment to what I've had to say. And if you don't understand it, I recommend that you study it out. Like I said, Brother Jeremiah said it one of the very first episodes we ever did. We don't claim to be professionals because we're not. Again, it's, you know, midnight and I'm sitting here trying to put together my thoughts. Just because, just simply because of the fact that I thought it needed to be shared. I mean, let's just be honest. So, I mean, that's all that I can really sit here and say. So study it out yourself, understand it, pray on it. What I would say to do, pray on it. Because I have to do that all the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, I will take an account for what I say. You'll take an account for what you say and do. And nothing really more I can say or do other than say and do what God tells me to do. But a little bit of housekeeping, like always. I didn't do it in the beginning. I'll do it now. Simply put, don't forget to check out our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. There you can find out everything you need to know about who we are, where you all can listen, the different platforms we're on. Check us out on our social media. We have a Facebook page. We're also on TikTok. On TikTok, we're The Unscripted Pulpit. We have a few things posted there, hoping to get some more stuff posted. But on Facebook, we are at The Pulpit. That's T-H-E-P-U-L-P-I-T, The Pulpit. Check us out on there. We currently have a drawing going on right now, a raffle. A wonderful company that we've worked with in the past donated some stuff to us, and we are selling raffle tickets for that. All of that money will simply go to help make this happen. As y'all know, nothing in this world is cheap. We have to purchase license and equipment and subscriptions and different stuff like that. So if you could and wouldn't care, hop on there, check out that, all kinds of stuff going on there. Also check on our website. If you get the opportunity, check out our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. We are incredibly, incredibly proud. We have brought out a brand new division of the Unscripted Pulpit called the Amen Corner. Many of you might have seen, we brought on a new host, Brother Jared Hurst. And he does a phenomenal job with God gives him an insight on how he looks at things. I was trying to find it here. I was going to read just a bit. See, this just little excerpt, little paragraph of out of his newest publication on the Amen Corner called I'll Appreciate This Later. Let's see. Let me find a good part to read. I don't want to get a point. Let's see. Everything you do for the kingdom of heaven is like adding a brick to your mansion's foundation. The obedience, the consistency, and the uplifting of others are things that may not always have an earthly reward. Everything you do for the kingdom of heaven is like adding a brick to your mansion's foundation. The obedience, the consistency, the uplifting, and all the other things. Let's see. They don't always come with applause, recognition, or someone stepping in when you're tired and need a relief. Sometimes they look like quiet faithfulness that goes unnoticed by everyone but the Lord. That was from his newest called I'll Appreciate This Later. You can check it out on our website at theunscriptedpulpit.com, the Amen Corner. Also, you can get on there and check out Pen and Pray. Sister Sarah does her blog on there. Hoping to have some new editions of that coming out soon. Have a prayer request, have a need in your life that you need help praying with. Go on there. You can text in a prayer request to 1-859-412-2187. Fill out the form there. You can put information in there that don't make any sense. We really don't care. We're going to help you pray about stuff. Also, check out our news and press releases. We're accepting applications for podcast guests. If you want to be on a show, fill that out. Get back with us. Somebody will get in contact with you and get you scheduled in. Also, all you want to know about us is on there, so please check it out. Check us out on Facebook. And as always, we've said it 1,000 times and we'll say it again. As always, remember to do what we say all the time. Walk with Jesus. Hey guys, it's Austin. I want to talk to something real quick. Just a short thought that I had, kind of that we would like to really start pushing and urging to closing out all of our podcast with. I know we like to have a lot of fun. We like to deep dive into God's Word and discuss a lot of different stuff. But there's a very serious matter at hand. And let's be honest, it's something that's very important. If you look at your own life and your own thoughts and your actions, I'm sure there's something in there that you wish you could take back. You know deep down that things aren't right, and the Bible is clear about this, and it doesn't leave anyone out. The plain truth is that we've all messed up, no matter how perfect we try to make life. We've all missed the mark of God's perfect standard. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God." And sin isn't just a minor mistake. It comes with a terrible price. When you work a job, you earn wages. The wages we earn for sin is death, spiritual separation from God forever. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We all face two unavoidable appointments, and that's death and the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." And you can't fix the problems in your life yourself. No amount of good deed can be undone or can undo the wrong that you've done. You are facing a huge debt that you cannot pay. But I have good news for you. The same good news that was shared to me and shared to many others, I am here to share it with you, and that is simply that. This is where the story changes completely. God knows that we can't save ourselves, and because He loves us with an impossible love, He made a way out. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the ultimate debt for us. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God didn't wait for us to clean up our act. He showed us His love right where we were, at our best or at our worst. We were still sinners, but Jesus still died on the cross for us. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus took the punishment we deserved when he was beaten and crucified. Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Today I strongly urge you, myself, Jeremiah, Sarah, and all of the staff of the Unscripted Pulpit Ministries, strongly urge you that if you do not know Christ and the free pardon of sin, and if you was to die today, that you would make heaven your home. If you have any of that uncertainty, we urge you to take into account the matter of salvation. If you just simply believe, Romans 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We urge you, don't miss out. As I said, the wages of sin is death. But that good news that I have given you, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only way to the Father, and he is waiting for you to now. Don't wait any longer.